Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman, and joining me to co-host is Ed Vitagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
And Fred Jackson, News Director for American Family Radio.
Good morning, guys.
And OneNewsNow.com. Guys, before we jump into the news, I wanted to tell folks that we are going on our tours to Williamsburg and Washington, D.C. in September. So if you want to go with us, they're called Spiritual Heritage Tours, and they are, I'm not just saying this because I'm a part of it, but I get feedback all the time. They're wonderful tours, and there'll be Christians from all over the country joining us as we explore early American history and God's hand on our country. So if you want to go with us in September, you know, unless we got some two or three other viruses pop up, who knows, huh? Who can see the future?
Right.
I'm just kidding. Hopefully I'm just kidding. Who knows? With all these wet markets around the world. Anyway, back to my... Tim, stay on message, okay? Are you ever talk to yourself like that, Ed?
I don't usually use the name Tim, but I do.
Okay. All right, folks. So anyway, we're going to have a great time. It's going to be... And if you're looking for... sort of a vacation with a purpose. We're going in September. So you can go on both trips, Williamsburg, Jamestown, Yorktown, and Washington, D.C., and George Washington's Mount Vernon. Those are two separate tours, but you can do them back-to-back in 1 week. So for all the information, the itinerary, every cost, everything about it, go to spiritualheritagetours.com. SpiritualHeritageTours.com, SpiritualHeritageTours.com. Fred, what's leading the news?
Well, we all know that New York City hard hit by the coronavirus, and we also know New York City has a very large Jewish population, and particularly the Orthodox Jewish population. Last night, hundreds of members of that Orthodox community, Jewish community, gathered for a funeral. One of their beloved rabbis passed away. The reaction from New York City Mayor de Blasio is making headlines this morning. Are you ready for this? He called out the New York Police Department to come and break up that gathering. Here's what de Blasio tweeted out last night. He said, "What I saw will not be tolerated so long as we are fighting the coronavirus. My message to the Jewish community and all communities is this simple. The time for warnings has passed. I have instructed the New York Police Department to proceed immediately to summons or even arrest those who gather in large groups. This is about stopping this disease and saving lives, period." End quote. Calling out the police on the Orthodox community, a Jewish community there in New York, who were holding a funeral last night.
Well, when I read this story, Bill de Blasio, to me, is a little bit on the dictatorial side anyway. This just has kind of unleashed his inner dictator, okay? So this totalitarian streak... I understand the pressure that someone in de Blasio's position must be under, because New York has been very hard hit by the coronavirus. As you pointed out, Fred, on a number of occasions, that New York to New Jersey kind of corridor is half the cases in the country. So I understand they're desperate. But to me, the optics of turning loose the police on a bunch of Jewish people.
At a funeral?
I mean, did they ask for their papers, please? You know what I'm saying? I mean, it just has Nazi overtones. I'm sorry. This is the kind of thing where maybe you send people down there and write them all tickets or something? Maybe is that what they did? Did they when they broke it up? How did they break it up? Did they kick the doors in and start screaming? It's just the optics of this are terrible, and more, I think people, maybe even in New York, are just going to say enough is enough.
Well, de Blasio says we can't have large gatherings like this. My question is, does New York City have any Walmarts?
Yeah.
Do they have any grocery stores?
How about Subways?
Subways. Exactly, yeah. Tim. Exactly.
Mm.
That's happening all the time. The Subways haven't stopped.
Right.
Thousands of people on their Subways every day crowding into those little silver tubes.
Yeah, the optics of sending the police in to, what are they going to drag? I'm just telling you, we're talking about Jewish people, okay? We're talking about Nazi Germany and the echoes of that. They're going to drag these poor people out and start throwing them in paddy wagons? This is the kind of thing where de Blasio just seems to thrive.
All right, let me ask you this then. Is he just supposed to let them get away with it?
Well, I get away with it. Why not? You know, why not drag them all out? I mean, what I'm saying is, how you stop it is at least as important as whether you do anything at all.
Don't get me wrong. Before I get emails and everything, I agree with your analysis. I'm just saying, from his perspective as mayor, these mayors are going to have all kind of problems. I think they need just. They probably need to issue these edicts, if you want to call them, as recommendations, or we strongly encourage. You're not going to be able to police all these, especially in major metropolitan areas like New York or Chicago. In Chicago, they're having teenagers and 20-year-olds are having parties.
Right.
Huh? And the mayor's trying to control that. They're having parties. So, and big parties are putting on video, you know, streaming.
Yeah.
So, I just don't see how you continue this as a practical matter, and you're going to get into picking and choosing which people you're going to go after to enforce your stay-at-home policies.
Yeah.
Fortunately, in Chicago, it's an African-American woman who's the mayor, because it's the two big parties that have been broadcast and talked about were African-American young people.
Yeah.
And she's mad because they're partying against her, you know, because they're not practicing the social distancing and the 10 people meeting and maximums,
right,
and all that kind of thing. I'm just saying that if that had been a white male mayor and he told the black young people, you can't get together,
right,
for a party, then it's a big racial thing. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So and now with New York and the mayor there, it becomes an anti-Semitic thing.
Right.
So these, I don't know, it's a mess that and the longer you go, the less people are going to obey.
Right.
We see what happened in California. They're deciding we're just going to go to the beach. And that's going to start happening more and more. I'm not encouraging civil disobedience myself. I'm just saying that it's human nature that you, especially Americans who are used to being free to go and travel and move around, you're going to, it's only so long you can keep them cooped up, and they're going to, after a while, even the most upstanding law-abiding citizen is going to say, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Listen, I think that if the mayor really wanted to say to this synagogue or this funeral home, no more, then you send the police. Listen, if you want to crack down it, you send the police, you take license plates, and you send them a ticket. But you don't break it up, and you don't arrest the people. Yeah. I just think that looks,
especially a funeral service.
It's a funeral.
Yeah, I know.
It's not a party.
Right.
It's a funeral.
I know.
And there are certain things that the Orthodox Jewish community believes in. When someone passes, it's not that they can wait a couple of weeks.
Right.
You know, this is part of their
belief
system.
Well, I wonder what they're doing about Muslims.
And Ramadan, yeah.
Muslims gather by the hundreds or thousands, and they are side by side by side by side in their prayer.
Mm-hmm.
In their prayer times, we've all seen those pictures. So, it's going to be that. I agree with you, Ed, on the bad optics. But they got a big homeless problem on subways in New York, too. Did you see this?
Yeah.
Yes.
And I don't know what they're going to do about that. Mayor, Governor Cuomo yesterday was acting shocked. Well, I live in Tupelo, Mississippi, and I know there are homeless problems on on subways in New York, if you've ever been up there, and they're getting worse and worse. You got 8-10 million people in a 30-mile radius. I don't want that job.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? To try to enforce all these social distancing rules and regulations. All right, Fred.
All right.
Hey, by the way, Ed wants to tell folks how they can watch this here show.
Okay.
You know,
Tim, don't you, Ed?
I would love to tell our people how, if you're listening and you...
I am listening.
Yeah, I'm talking now to our listeners,
you're talking
our
to
AFR
listeners. Okay.
If you would like to watch us,
mm-hmm.
and like Tim just took a sip of coffee, you want to actually see him do that?
Yeah, I'll do it in slow motion right here while you're talking.
You can.
So you get an instant replay.
Okay, wait. Let's get people to the place where they can watch it first.
Slow motion?
Yeah. So you go to Facebook or YouTube.
See if I commit a foul.
Okay. Facebook or YouTube, search for Today's Issues, and you can click through, and you can probably watch Tim finish this slow motion sip of coffee.
I didn't violate anybody's social distancing orders right there. Facebook or YouTube. We also post the stories that we discuss here on Facebook. If you want the stories that Fred's bringing up, we post them there, and we talk, and you can have that information for your, for yourself to pass around or read. All right, next story, Fred.
A voice from the past mm-hmm. emerged yesterday across the nation's television screens.
Okay.
She emerged. Uh-huh. I could probably guess from a lot of different places. But
Fred, she emerged from a lot of different places?
Fred, I don't know what you meant by that, but it sounded uncalled for.
I was just going to quote the president. He talks about swamp, things like that.
Okay.
All right.
She emerged from a lot of different places. This sounds like a science fiction movie. All right, who is this? Who is this person who defies the laws of physics?
Remember that tune? All right, guys, name this voice.
Yes.
She endorsed Joe Biden and had high praise for him. Do I need to mention her name?
No, just go ahead. Let's see if we can identify it.
Number one there, Mr. Brent.
So I want to add my voice to the many who have endorsed you to be our president. Just think of what a difference it would make right now if we had a president who not only listened to the science, put facts over fiction, but brought us together. Think of what it would mean if we had a real president, not just somebody who plays one on TV. Well, I know what a difference it would make because I've been there. I've seen firsthand what presidents can and should do. And I, like so many Americans, really wish that we had that kind of leadership now.
Go ahead, guys. Guess.
Listen, that sounds very familiar. But you know what?
You know, that's a Chicago, Arkansas, New York accent.
If I had to identify it.
You know what I'm saying?
It sounded a little bit on the deplorable side, though.
It sounded like a carpetbagger.
Carpetbagger. That's Hillary Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
We could have been listening to that voice for the last 3 years.
Yeah, she was elected senator from New York State. She couldn't even point out half the towns when she was asked about it. But hey, New Yorkers want to elect somebody that's never even lived there before.
Yeah. She suddenly became a Yankee fan too, didn't she?
Yes.
She had been a Chicago Cubs fan all her life, and then, no, I've always loved the Yankees.
I can't imagine running for the Senate in a state you've never lived in or been from. I don't know how that, anyway, the point is she endorsed Joe Biden,
mm-hmm.
former vice president for Barack Obama. And these people like Hillary Clinton are really struggling right now to avoid the elephant in the room.
Yeah.
Fred?
Yeah. No kidding.
Tell our listeners what the elephant in the room is.
The elephant in the room is a woman called Tara Reid. And she is the woman that Joe Biden, the mainstream media, just refuses to ask Joe Biden about the allegations that she has made of being sexually assaulted.
He hadn't denied it.
No, he hasn't said anything because he hasn't been asked personally.
He had a chance yesterday. He had a chance yesterday to try to defuse the situation or, answer it directly, and he didn't talk about it.
Nope.
What we're talking about, folks, you know, you've been paying attention, is this girl who was this woman now, who was a girl at the time, a teenage girl, working as an intern in Senator Biden's office in the 80s, says he sexually violated her. And her story has been helped. Her credibility has been helped by two or three things that have happened. A couple of people who know her now and knew her then said she told them about it.
Mm-hmm.
And these aren't Republicans or conservatives. These are Democrats.
She's a Democrat.
She's a Democrat. And mm-hmm. She's a Bernie Sanders supporter, right?
Right.
And then, call to the Larry King show that her mom made back in the 80s, she didn't specifically name Senator Biden, but she said, my daughter worked for a prominent senator and he did this to her. Mm-hmm. Well, who else could her mom have been talking about? So the Democratic females in particular are not being, they're stuttering and stammering and trying to avoid the cameras. They don't want to be asked about this.
Now you're talking about politicians.
The ones who piled on Kavanaugh.
Right.
Justice Kavanaugh and tried to take him out. For supposedly groping a girl in high school, right, or in college, I guess. So, did you hear what is it,
Kristen Gillibrand?
Yes, Brent, you may not have this, but it was a clip from Sandy's show this morning, where Senator Gillibrand
from New York,
was asked about this.
And she was one of the Democrats who ran for president, didn't get very far, dropped out.
But she also was one of the ones that went after Brett Kavanaugh.
Right, because as a senator, she was in there for the confirmation hearings.
Yeah.
See
if you can find that, Brent. I'm sorry to throw that on you just impromptu here, but see if you can find that, because she's representative of the way that the Democrat women, what you got going on, folks, is we all know it. The Democratic Party is trying to cover for Joe Biden, along with the mainstream media, to keep him from suffering an ouster or a resignation over this allegation against him. So they're contorting themselves, trying to hope the storm will pass.
And ignore the standards they established. For these kinds of incidents,
right. Yeah, this is their own. This is of their own making, because we, conservatives, back when they went after Kavanaugh, Fred, were saying, you can't apply this kind of 30-year-old standard to somebody, especially where there are no witnesses. There's no against Kavanaugh.
No police report.
Nothing. And the Democrats all said, oh yeah, you can. He's guilty of sin. We've got to keep him off the Supreme Court.
Believe all women.
Yeah. That was the standard the Democrats set themselves.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's right.
Now they're having to confront that standard. That was for political expediency at the time, to try to keep Kavanaugh off the Supreme Court. Now here it is. We have this quote. I want you to listen. I only heard this once. This was on Sandy's show this morning. Brent, did you have something to say about this?
Yes, this is a news report. So it's a minute and 15, so it'll be a little bit before she gets there.
Okay, now this is the senator from New York, one of the ones who went after Kavanaugh. Now, the evidence to support the accusation against Biden is much, much stronger than anything was with Kavanaugh. I just want you to listen to the voice inflection and this. I didn't even see this. I just heard it on Sandy's show this morning, but it struck me on how she's trying her best to get out of the
dance.
to do the dance. Go ahead and play it.
And Senator, I also wanted to ask you about an issue in the news right now concerning the allegation against Joe Biden by Tara Reid, who's a former staffer of his. I was wondering what your reaction is to that situation. Do you believe the allegation that's been put out there by Tara Reid against Biden?
So when we say bleed women, it's for this explicit intention of making sure there's space for all women to come forward, to speak their truth, to be heard. And in this allegation, that is what Tara Reid has done. She has come forward, she has spoken, and they've done an investigation in several outlets. Those investigations, Vice President Biden has called for himself. Vice President Biden has vehemently denied these allegations, and I support Vice President Biden.
Do you think some of the Democrats who supported Blasey Ford's allegations against Kavanaugh, who've been silent on this Biden allegation, do you see that as a contradiction, that they're not speaking out more and addressing Tara Reid's allegation?
No, and I stand by Vice President Biden. He's devoted his life to supporting women, and he has vehemently denied this allegation.
You liar.
That's
a bunch of garbage, and she's rehearsed it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, notice she said that Joe Biden's vehemently denied this. I haven't seen that anywhere.
That's true. A couple spokespeople for his campaign have.
They released a statement, and they said basically he's worked for women his whole life. He hasn't vehemently denied it. He hadn't even been asked about it, and he had a chance at an open town hall yesterday to address it head on. So she's not being truthful about that. She's just the word pathetic is
here's the problem for the Democrats. Now, as we said, our position here has been consistent.
Right.
Our position has been yes, women's accusations should be heard. Police should not you should not blame women or say they deserved it. Police should listen to them. Their accusations should be taken seriously. A woman should be able to file a police report on somebody, and then it should be followed up and treated like any other criminal accusation. But our position has been, if you do not do that, if you choose not to take those steps 40 years ago or 30 years ago, that's up to you. That's your choice as a woman. But then you forfeit the opportunity 40 years later to come back and say, oh, yeah, well, I never filed a police report, but here's what this guy did. That's been our position. And that applied to Kavanaugh. And in my opinion, that applies to Joe Biden. But the problem for Democrats is that is not their position.
No, the Democrats have a dual, they have two different standards for what you just described, Fred, what Ed just described. That the Democrats and the mainstream media, the standard is this: if it's a conservative being accused, then he's guilty.
Yes.
If it's a liberal being accused, then he's innocent until proven guilty. And quite frankly, we don't want to talk about the evidence.
Right.
See, so they don't really care. The Democrats don't give a rip about whether women are sexually assaulted or not.
Right.
Huh? In the end, they care about raw politics.
That's right.
Right.
And also the reporter guys, if I was the reporter, I said, okay, what you just said, you believe Joe Biden, therefore you're calling Tara Reid a liar. Respond to that.
Yeah.
And by the way, you said investigations have shown what investigation?
No.
Who investigated?
That was malarkey. That was just it sounded like it was rehearsed or it was a pitiful response. It was a non-response response.
But it probably was rehearsed.
Yeah.
But that's the best they can come up with because of their standard.
Investigation. What'd she say? Investigations have happened.
Several outlets, she said. Yeah. Not on any outlet. Not called Fox.
No. Well, Kavanaugh, she wanted she wanted him seated. She wanted the professor from California,
Blasey Ford.
She wanted her to tell her story. You know.
Well, if
before
you believe
the Senate.
What Kirsten Gillibrand just said was Tara Reid's had her opportunity to say her piece, and we don't believe her.
And we don't care.
And we don't care.
Because our guy has to win.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. We will be back momentarily with more. Abraham Hamilton III up next.
On the next Today's Issues.
We appreciate hearing from you. You can send us an email at comments@afr.net.
I pastor a small church, so I have to have a full-time job on the side. When I try to feed the flock, y'all feed me, and I thank God for y'all.
If you want to watch the show live, you can go to Facebook or YouTube. Just type in Today's Issues. And you can also access the stories that we talk about.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues. Weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman from American Family Radio and American Family Association. On our tours of Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon and Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown, coming up in September, we are going to explore how the coronavirus impacted early American history. So I'm sure you're going to enjoy that if you'll join us for one of those tours. I'm just kidding. It's going to be a coronavirus-free tour. Coming up in September, we're going to have a great time. September is a nice weather month in Virginia and D.C. So if you would like to look at the itinerary and all that we'll be doing and seeing and exploring in September, my wife and I, Allison, we will be leading the tours. Just go to spiritualheritagetours.com. Historian Stephen McDowell will be with us all along our time together in Williamsburg and Washington. SpiritualHeritageTours.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and folks, Liberty University believes a private Christian education should be affordable to everyone. That's great, right? It doesn't matter if you're from California or Maine or anywhere in between, you may qualify for up to $20,780 over 4 years through Liberty's Middle America Scholarship. For more information, text MAS to the number 839-858 today. Again, that's MAS to the number 839-858. Protests are sweeping across the fruited plain as freedom-loving patriots bristle at mandatory lockdowns. Hundreds of demonstrators have poured into the streets in places like Denver and San Diego, New Jersey, and Michigan. They want governors to lift emergency orders so they can go back to work, open up their small businesses. By and large, the protests have been organized through social media, but not anymore. Facebook says they removed protest events from their pages at the request of governors in Nebraska, California, and New Jersey. Now, the governors in those states deny asking Facebook to do anything. Facebook says they will only remove protests that are against the law. Now, that's interesting because technically, every protest is against the law under the emergency orders. In other words, Facebook is doing to American protesters what they did to Hong Kong protesters. Be sure to get my new podcast. It's a free download at toddstarnes.com.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments at afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Abraham Hamilton III is with us now. Abe is a public policy analyst for us here at AFA, and he is also the host of the Hamilton Quarter each afternoon here on American Family Radio from 5 to 6 o'clock Central Time, and a constitutional attorney. Good morning, Abe.
Good morning.
How you doing, brother?
I'm doing very well. How are you all doing?
Working from home, are you?
Yes, I am.
What are you doing?
Working being the operative word.
Okay.
Well, I'm making an appearance on the most amazing radio program called Today's Issues.
You know, I'm not gonna.
I'm not gonna argue with that.
I'm not gonna argue with that either, Abe. I think that's, you know, we'll let the people decide. Fred, before we jump into Abe's conspiracy theory. let him defend it.
What did I do now?
Well, we'll talk about it in a minute. Did you have a clip? We were talking about the Democrats and the media's shameless defense of Joe Biden in this whole sexual assault accusation, which, by the way, according to The Hill, which is a publication that covers Congress and Washington, D.C., I was reading a story about this, and they say, quote, her brother, that is Tara Reade's brother, her friend and her former neighbor have all separately verified her claim that she talked about this when it
at the time
allegedly happened back in 1993, I think it was. So,
yeah,
and the fact that Joe Biden hadn't talked about it, he won't address it. At least he hasn't heretofore. His people have issued some kind of statement. So there's been no denial by Joe Biden himself of this that I'm aware of. But go ahead.
Tara Reid responded yesterday to Hillary Clinton's endorsement of Joe Biden. Mm-hmm. This is what Tara Reid had to say, quote, "I voted for Hillary Clinton in 2016. I voted for her in the primary. I'm a lifelong Democrat, but yet what I see now is someone enabling a sexual predator, and it was my former boss, Joe Biden, who raped me. Hillary Clinton has a history of enabling powerful men to cover up their sexual predatory behaviors and their inappropriate sexual misconduct. We don't need that for this country. We don't need that for our new generation coming up that wants institutional rape culture to change." And then she added, "I will not be smeared, dismissed, or ignored. I stand in truth, and I will keep speaking out," end quote.
Abe, what are your thoughts on this whole situation? Is this likely to go away?
No, I don't think it's going to go away. This, and I have consistently maintained that when you have an allegation made of this sort, that corroborating evidence is necessary. However, the Democrats have painted themselves into a corner, right? Because there's far more evidence for Tara Reid's allegations than there were for Brett Kavanaugh. Mm-hmm. And the way that they went to the mat for Brett Kavanaugh, when there was no one who corroborated with what Christine Blasey Ford said, yet they went to the mat for her, I think they have painted themselves into a corner now, because you have the allegations made by Tara Reid herself, which her initial allegations did not include some of the things she included in the latter parts of her allegations, which I think could be problematic. But then when you have her allegations that were made, then you have her mom's telephone call into the Larry King Live television show in 1993, complaining about not being able to be heard, her daughter being heard by her superior. Then you have Tara Reid confirming that was her late mother in the phone call. Then you have her brother and her former neighbor coming out and saying, yeah, she told us about this when it happened. And her reticence to come forward in the 90s because she respected Joe Biden. She had a high regard for him. I think the Democrats have a huge problem. And you cannot eat your cake and have it too. And they went to the mat for Brett Kavanaugh. And in doing so, they've literally lined up the Inquisition line, if you will, for those who would endorse them. You have Nancy Pelosi coming out and endorsing Joe Biden in a video that she released at 4 something in the morning on a Monday, which makes it look like she didn't really want anybody to see it when she released it. They're in a difficult position. You have the gentleman who used to work, gentleman, that may be an overstatement, but who worked as a Clinton's former Hillary Clinton campaign staffer, who's come out and said, there's no way we Democrats, he's a Democrat, there's no way we Democrats can be proponents or supporters of the Me Too movement and have Joe Biden as a Democrat nominee for president with these allegations surrounding him.
Yeah, this is just the, you know, Kavanaugh's accused of by this Christine
Blasey Ford.
Yeah, the professor there. The things he was accused of as a teenager, right? Yes. Not even raping, but groping, or had himself what he was accused of, basically forcing himself without sex on to this, and nobody saw it, nobody could corroborate it. She didn't even know where she was. Well, she was called before the Congress to testify about this sleazy.
That's remarkable.
Yeah, called to the Congress to testify about this, and all the Democrats, especially the Democrat women, I support her, I believe her. Now here we are.
Joe Biden said he believe all women.
He sees, listen, there's hypocrisy all the time on a lot of different issues by a lot of different people. I try each day not to be a hypocrite.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So the Bible talks about this, right? So we're all called to be a we all have done things in our life that we would say I shouldn't do, or it's wrong.
Right.
But anyway, so the Bible talks about this. In this case, this is what you would call systematic hypocrisy, or blatant fundamental public hypocrisy on a big issue that the Democrats say that they're the champions of women.
Right.
And now it comes time to put up or shut up, and they've shut up.
Can I ask Abe just a quick question here? So, Abe,
I thought that was pretty profound.
No, it was profound.
What I just said.
And I'm not even – there's no need to even add to it, Tim. It was – it's a
– That's what I want to hear.
That's right.
Right there. Move on.
So Tim asked you, Abe, if you thought this would go away. You said no. So what do you think the fallout will be in terms of Joe Biden? Do you think he will eventually have to drop out of the race because of this, or do you think this cover-up goes up all the way through the November election?
Thank you for asking that question. I want to explain what I meant when I said it's not going to go away. Now, make no mistake about it. The regressive propagandist for the Democrat Party will do everything that they can to make it go away.
Right.
But I think the ultimate fallout from this will be – the next thing I'll say this. I don't think they're going to be successful in forcing Joe Biden to resign or to step down from being the Democrat nominee. But what I think is going to happen is that it's going to severely erode – his support within the Democrat Party. So you already had the Bernie Sanders wing who don't like Joe Biden. You already have that as the, you know, the civil war, if you would, within the Democrat Party. Now, on top of that, you're going to have some of their women supporters for the Democrat Party and people who have taken the Me Too campaign within the Democratic Party seriously, and they are going to reduce their support for Joe Biden. So when I say I don't think it's going to go away, I think, one, I think conservative media is not going to let it go away. And I think, two, that you're going to have some in the Democrat Party who will not be able to abide Joe Biden as their nominee, and it's going to result in them staying home if he remains at the top of the ticket, which I think he will.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. What is your, yesterday in your program you were talking about the Wuhan virus and
– Yeah.
Globalists.
I was teasing, globalists, calm, and
lizard people. What was that?
Yeah, just,
no lizard people.
Yeah, and that you were talking to Bigfoot the other day, and he told you something important, Abe. So you want? No, I'm teasing. I'm kidding with Abe. You did have a serious thought about what's going on. Thoughts about what's going on here that sounds conspiratorial, and you know, not all conspiracy theories are wrong.
It's not a conspiracy. You're not being paranoid if they really are after you.
So go ahead. Yeah,
and what I shared is not it's not reported on widely in the lying media, but it's I didn't make it up. I actually posted links on my social media site to this event. So in New York City on October 18th, 2019, and by the way, I had this information for quite some time. I just had never shared it publicly. And I'm not the only person who've discussed this either, but I just shared that what I don't think most Americans know, that on October 18th, 2019, in New York City, an event was hosted called Event 201. And the people who attended the event, some of the players were the Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, the Chinese Center for Disease Control, were among the players, where they some people describe it as war-gamed, but what they did was plan for a global response to a national virus-based pandemic on October 18th, 2019. Anybody can look this up. It was Event 201. They still have the website up. I went to the website yesterday.
I'm looking at it right now.
And they explicitly planned for their response in the event that a global virus-based pandemic occurred that ultimately culminated in the development and the dissemination of a vaccine globally.
Hmm.
That's a pretty ironic coincidence, don't you think? And we now know that about a month later, the Wuhan coronavirus broke out in China. So what I'm saying is when we think about things like, why is it that the Johns Hopkins University is the one that's tracking this, that most people are referring to the data there?
Yeah.
It's almost as if they were prepared.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it that Bill Gates, a man who has been on the record historically for advocating for a reduction in the global population, how did he all of a sudden get catapulted to the front of the line in conversations about funding for vaccines? It's almost as if he was prepared. How is it that, wait a minute, the Chinese Center for Disease Control was present at that meeting. And then when the Wuhan coronavirus broke out in China, the Chinese Communist government limited domestic travel from Wuhan into the rest of the Chinese country, but they continued to allow the travel from Wuhan, China, internationally. Namely, one of the primary locations where people would fly from China between November of 2019 and March of 2020 was to Italy and to the East Coast of the United States of America and some to the Pacific Coast of the United States of America. Why would they allow travel from Wuhan to international locations, but not domestically? And so when you just connect these dots, and I know I've mentioned on your program that it's a very interesting coincidence, in my opinion, that we had the United States Department of Justice release the information for the indictments and the arrest of one, Dr. Charles Lieber, the chair of the Harvard Department for Chemistry and Biology, who was working covertly with the Chinese government in the development of a Chinese virology lab. Then you have the other Chinese national who was arrested smuggling 21 vials of biomedical specimens in a sock to China. And then you have the other who we did not arrest. She made it back to China, who was working in concert with the communist Chinese government's military in developing scientific infiltrating hospitals, all of this in the Boston area. I'm just saying that there are one too many coincidences for them all to be coincidences, not even to mention that the Chinese government, though their CDC came to New York for this event 201, as soon as the Wuhan virus was breaking out there, we sent people from the U.S. CDC to China and they lied to our people. There would be no global coronavirus pandemic if the Chinese government told the truth about what was happening, because the rest of the countries would have been able to respond. And to have all of this happening after these folks met in New York to plan for a globalized response to a virus-based pandemic, it's just one coincidence too many for me. It's one coincidence too many for me.
Hmm.
Fred, go ahead.
Well, to add what Abe has been talking about here, I went online this morning. Abe, do you know if there was a rep for the World Health Organization at this meeting?
Yes. The World Health Organization was at the Event 201, as well as the World Economic Forum. Yes.
Back in 2005, they released a paper about what to do about a world pandemic. World Health Organization did. One of the categories that they said you have to decide right away is who is going to run the response, and that you must decide whether it's going to be the prime minister or the president of a country or the scientists. Now, what we saw here, of course, is that President Trump deferred to whom? Dr. Fauci, Dr. Birx. They have even said the president did everything that we told him to do. Now, I find you bring all of this together, and what Abe has just told us, you know, there's...
All right, we're going to bring in our resident skeptic here, Ed Vitagliano, who has to ruin every good story by trying to tell us it can't happen that way.
No,
so go ahead, Ed.
Listen, I don't necessarily disagree with what Abe or Fred is saying. In fact, I got a little conspiratorial early on as well, and I think, for example, that it's possible that the Chinese, once this thing got out, whether it was intentional or accidental from the Wuhan laboratory, they said, let's let it ride. Let's see what happens.
Have you been talking to my wife?
No.
Allison? Because that's what she said the day it happened.
Yeah, I think it's entirely possible the Chinese said, let's protect us, ourselves. Let's see how this unfolds around the world in case... Just in case we ever want to release,
you're not
something.
Saying that happened. You're saying that you could see how that would.
I would not be surprised.
From a communist totalitarian state,
a nation, by the way, that has it within its own military strategy, a strategy for winning a nuclear war. Okay, they have their own strategies for how to survive these kinds of cataclysmic events. So the reason I say that is I am not totally against these kinds of ideas. I would simply say that to me, And let me throw one other thing in here just to kind of feed the conspiracy a little bit. You hear Bill Gates and some of these others saying things like, well, we're going to have, you're going to basically have to have a have proof that you're not infected, that you've that you're going to have proof that you have had either the coronavirus and have the antibodies, or that you have had a shot for prevention. Okay, so all those things together, I think, my opinion, it's very likely that the globalists are intent on using this to further their globalist plans. I find it hard to believe that any bureaucracy like the World Health Organization can hide a secretive plan like we're kind of discussing without it leaking. That's all I'm saying.
Well, also, a observation based on what Abe has talked about there and connecting the dots, and what is what Fred cited there related to this. And this was not done in secret. This was out in the open, evidently, Fred. You said that they were discussing at this 2005. What was this meeting? Who was this meeting?
It was discussed, World Health Organization, okay, discussing how to respond to a pandemic.
Okay. And you said that the question before the organization at that time
They said part of the plan has to be a nation has to decide who's going to run the show, who's going to lead the response.
What are your choices?
Your choices are the politician, they said prime minister or president, whatever the country has as a leader, or the scientists.
Okay.
The experts.
Okay. Right there. Stop right there. Are you quoting from an article on this?
Yeah. All right. Go online.
All right. That's a false choice. Right there. Okay, you see,
yeah.
I see what they're doing there. The president or the prime minister calls the shots. And whatever government you have
in an emergency.
In conjunction with
right
the legislature or the Congress. But if they're going to put it in terms of who's the top dog, who has to make decisions for the country, it's the elected official. Now, if the elected official, like President Trump has done, chooses to listen to the scientist and then evaluate what they say and process it and then do what he wants to with that information, he's responsible to the public on the choices he makes based on the information he's chosen to listen to. So, but that sounded like to me, Fred, is that, you know, it sounded like to me the World Health Organization would say, you know, the politicians must move out of the way, get off the stage.
Defer to
and go with everything that the scientists, by the way, the scientists differ.
Right.
I could show you a lot of well-credentialed scientists who don't believe in man-made global warming.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And by the way, as an aside, if their models for man-made global warming are the same models, same type of formulas that we use for the coronavirus killing of millions of people, then they need to reevaluate those models. So maybe there's something else at work here. But all right, so this is very interesting. What are you going to cover this afternoon? Can you tease us a little bit on your show?
Well, and Abe, let Abe, you know, we're just spitballing. So if he has something else he wants to add on this, I'm not adverse to
go.
That.
When I said that these are too many coincidences for me, similar to you, Ed, I am by no means, I have no evidence, I have no basis to say that the Chinese communist government intentionally released this virus. I don't know that. I don't have any information to support that. I think it would be irresponsible of me to say that. However, what I do feel comfortable saying is that there is no way that this SARS-CoV-2 virus becomes a global pandemic without the intentional deception efforts by the communist Chinese government that just happened to be a part of this Event 201 meeting where they were a part of coordinating a global response to a viral pandemic.
And
it doesn't become global without that.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
And in addition, the World Health Organization publicly defended, publicly touted the Communist China line on this as late as what? January or February?
Saying
that the China, this is the World Health Organization now, supposedly the premier scientific agency in the world to speak on pandemics. And they're, and here's what, they basically sound like me on a tweet. You know, just what I, you know, Joe told me, he didn't do it. They said, the World Health Organization, the Chinese government has told us, I'm paraphrasing now, that the with this coronavirus, there is no human-to-human transmission. That is, was that in January or February?
It was early on. It was this year. It wasn't before December area.
The same people who want to pile on President Trump is saying he should have known, or he was told in his intelligence briefings, or in the case of Nancy Pelosi and Adam Schiff, he's murdered, he's responsible for the death of 50,000 people. Here you have the World Health Organization touting the Communist Chinese line that there's no human-to-human, you know, transmission of this coronavirus. And also, they did some other things. No need in shutting down travel between countries. You remember that? This is the World Health Organization. They're totally discredited on this particular issue. Go ahead.
Totally discredited, and as soon as and the timeline is critically important because you have the event 201 on October 18th, 2019, the Wuhan flu breaks out in China in November. We don't get wind of it, of the intensity of it. Dr. Fauci himself, I play these audio clips on the Hamilton Corner, January 21st, went on national television and saying the American people don't need to be worried about the Wuhan virus. January 26th went on national radio in New York and said the American people don't need to be worried about it. As late as February 17th, Dr. Fauci was on TV saying the American people don't need to be worried about it. But then in March, he said a million people will die in America from it.
Right.
Yeah.
So those are facts.
So if you're going to go after Trump, you're going to have to go after Fauci.
You can't go after Trump without going after Fauci.
Right.
Because he's repeating what Fauci is telling him.
Right.
And then when the Chinese government learned that President Trump was preparing to shut down travel from China. In when he was preparing to do it, the Chinese government lobbied our president not to do it when they knew the virus was breaking out in their own country.
Yeah. Yeah.
China's actions have made the Wuhan flu global.
I think that's clear. That to me, that's not conspiratorial or even conjecture. I think we're going to find out that there are going to be countries who are going to want China to pay up for what they've done.
Well, there are states here that have already sued the Chinese government, and rightly so.
Well, and there are a lot of European countries who see China's actions here for what it is too. And I don't know how much power maybe those nations have. They do a lot of trading with China, but it's just everything Abe laid out is fact. You know, and
guys, as recently as last week, the Chinese government had their propaganda machine operating in Muslim majority countries in Arabic, blaming the United States of America for the origins of the virus.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Saying it was our military that brought it.
Saying it was the U.S. military.
Yeah.
All right, Abe, thanks so much. We look forward to hearing you this afternoon, my friend.
Thank you, guys. Y'all have a great day.
Thanks, Abe.
Abraham Hamilton III there. We postponed our interview with Coach Tommy Tuberville, who's running for Senate in the state of Alabama. He's going to join us in 5 minutes. And then also Steve Jordahl will be with us. He has an interview with Bigfoot. So you don't want to miss that.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.